On this Thanksgiving Day, we thought we'd talk about giving. The good news? It turns out Americans are a charitable bunch, donating $471 billion to charities in 2020, according to Giving USA. And only a fraction of that money, about 20%, comes from corporations. Also interesting, people making less than $50,000 a year give more in relation to their total income than all but the top 1% of earners. The bad news? Consumers reported losing $1.6 billion to fraudulent charities in 2021 alone. How do these fake charities, scams, swindles work? And how can you avoid them? Let's bring in Laurie Styron. She's Executive Director of Charity Watch. Laurie, welcome. Happy Thanksgiving.
Well, happy Thanksgiving to you as well. I'm really happy to be here because the end of the year, it really is when people are giving most of the donations for the year. About a third of them come in December. And of course, you know, Giving Tuesday is right around the corner, which also means that that is peak time for scammers.
Yeah. And Laurie, I feel like this, as you mentioned, is the exact time when we're all maybe bombarded is the wrong word, but everyone's coming at us making their case. You know, I'm getting it in my email, I'm getting it in social media, I'm getting it even just in websites I visit. How do we know if they're scams or not?
Well, we have this great thing in the United States called the First Amendment. But it's the same thing that also prevents the government from mandating that charities spend a minimum percentage of their donations on their programs. So there were a number of efforts that went all the way to the Supreme Court, where many state regulators attempted to put some regulations in place saying, hey, you're a charity, you're supposed to be doing some public good here, you're making a lot of promises, why can't we put some laws in place that can protect people?
So let me just explain what you're saying here, make sure I'm understanding it correctly, in that we all donate money to X charity because they say they're going to give it to sick children to help them get better or to do whatever they're going to do, but they don't end up spending the money on that per se. It goes into overhead or other things?
That's really the heart of the matter, is how does a donor know, you know, is this charity really going to fulfill the promises it's making to me to spend my donations on the things for which it's soliciting me?
So let's go through some of the different kinds of charity scams. Among them are charities with really kind of noble sounding names. Your website lists dozens, including the Breast Cancer Charities of America, Children's Cancer Recovery Foundation. It's kind of stunning. What are some of the themes you see in these?
Well, scammers, as well as legitimate but highly inefficient charities that are kind of really more set up to funnel money to fundraising companies, what they have in common most of the time is they're raising money for highly popular causes. So what tugs at the heartstrings? Causes like veterans, sick or injured animals, children with cancer, breast cancer. So you have to be on higher alert when you're donating to a highly popular cause.
How should people know which are fake? I mean, Breast Cancer Charities of America sounds pretty legit to me.
Well, that is, in fact, a legitimate charity if how you're defining legitimate is it registered with the Internal Revenue Service? Typically, when a donor asks that question, what they want to know is, are they really going to use my donation the way they say they are? So there are millions of nonprofits registered with the Internal Revenue Service. There are no laws in place requiring charities to spend any certain percentage of your donation on their programs. So just knowing whether or not a charity is legitimate really isn't enough.
Got it. So I'm wondering, is maybe the lesson in this particular kind of charity, you should donate maybe to organizations that you actually really know and know are doing the work?
Well, I mean, the bottom line is that people really need to be proactive rather than reactive. The number one reason that people donate is because they're asked, but that's not really the best way to do it. You know, what we at Charity Watch always tell people to do is think proactively about, okay, what causes are important to you? Once you've decided that, seek out charities working in those causes. And then the next step is, of those charities working in those causes, which ones are going to use my money efficiently?
So there's some homework that we should do before we donate. But let's talk about phone call solicitations, because that happens. And we're not saying that all charity calls are fake, but many of the sham groups target older people using emotional pleas. Tell us about these.
Well, you know, some people, and I have so many anecdotal examples of this, but, you know, some people, the aging population, they can be experiencing cognitive decline. And one of the tricks that some of these unethical and predatory fundraisers use is they convince the person on the other end of the line that they already pledged in the past, or they might thank them for a donation that they never made to sort of establish this idea that there's already a relationship there, that they've already donated before. And it can be really confusing for people who are starting to experience memory problems, for example, or even me, I'm in my 40s and I can't remember everything either already. So I think a lot of us can relate to that. So, you know, this is one of the ways that these unethical fundraisers, they establish this relationship, making you think that you have already donated, making it much more likely that you'll convey a donation for the first time, thinking that you're just donating again.
Mm. You know, we're reading too that a lot of the dubious charities also raking it in by selling our information, selling names and other information to other fundraising groups. So if you do give even a small donation, you become a target of an even more nefarious solicitation. Talk about your recommendations when these mailings come to your house, and they might include personal greetings, even little gifts.
Well, you know, it's incredibly expensive to send out direct mail for charities. And the charities that send you something every month, that's typically a bad sign that they're spending probably millions and millions of dollars on fundraising and maybe not as much on their programs. So it is very tricky. Both for mail and phone calls, because one thing that many people don't realize is that we have this great do not call list, but charities are not subject to that list.
Mm. You know, I'm thinking about how major tragedies are sometimes used, and there's sometimes the point where we go to a crowdsource type charity. I remember after Uvalde and others. How there do you know if you're actually giving to the very people affected?
That's a very difficult thing to know. And, you know, we generally recommend not donating to crowdfunding campaigns, even in the most legitimate cases. They're just really problematic. First, because those crowdfunding campaigns, they're not subject to all of the public disclosure and regulations that charities are. And, you know, secondly, sometimes, you know, we end up making millionaires out of tragedy or disaster victims because someone with a highly publicized story sometimes ends up with hundreds of thousands of dollars, whereas other people who were negatively impacted by that exact same tragedy or disaster might get nothing just because their story wasn't publicized. So, you know, vetted charities with a good track record of working in those types of situations, it's much better to direct your donations to those because there are checks and balances in place to ensure that your donation is distributed equitably among all the people who need help.
So the bottom line, you've said, is to be an active and not passive giver. There are lists on your website and others like the Charity Navigator that kind of do some of the homework for us. But I wonder if you have some final tips that you can leave us with.
Sure. You can't really rely on a charity to tell you how efficiently it's operating. There are a lot of accounting tricks that charities use to make themselves appear to be operating more efficiently than they actually are. There are also a lot of big online databases that claim to rate thousands and thousands of charities. But really what they're doing is they're actually crowdsourcing self-reported information from the charities themselves and rating them based on that. So when you see those pie charts on charity websites claiming that 100% of your donation is spent on program or 90% or some other really high amount, there's a lot of accounting tricks that allow charities to really puff up that percentage.
So particularly in how we give, is there dangers in using a credit card with charities? Would a check be better?
Well, I've been working in a watchdog capacity for just over 19 years now. And I can tell you that when I donate to charity, I always use a credit card, and that's my preferred method. And the reason why is that the vast majority of credit card companies, they have controls in place and procedures in place that allow you to dispute fraudulent charges. When you donate with a debit card, for example, they can really just take that money right out of your account. And then it was going to be on you to try to get it back. Obviously, the scammers, they're going to do things like that. But it's even the legitimate but highly unethical charities. They'll do things like that. They'll make it impossible for you to cancel, you know, recurring things, or they'll send you really misleading marketing letters that are sort of like right on the line of legality. So credit cards are really, in my view, the safest way to donate, because you have some recourse there if you notice that something doesn't look quite right.
We've been talking with Laurie Styron. She's Executive Director of Charity Watch. And if you want more information about reputable charities and the rogues to avoid, we'll link you up with Charity Watch's Charity Rating Guide and its Watchdog Report. Laurie, thank you.
Well, thank you so much.